Boom, I'm rolling.
We are rolling.
Boop, 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 boop. La, da, da, ba. Choo, 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 choo.
Oh, added. That's a new one.
Sorry, guys. I'm very distracted. I do have a foster dog who is very handicapped, who just wants time, and I'm just trying to get him. I think I'm further handicapping him. You just want to hang out with me. Okay, ready? All right. Sorry, he's only got one front leg. He's so heavy. Okay, I gotcha. Okay, you're there. You're good. Hold on. Am I abusing the dog I'm trying to save? Okay, you're fine. Just sit with me. You'll be good. Shh. Okay, there we go. Sorry, you guys are having to see me live soothe
an
animal.
Is it unplugged?
Huh? Did I unplug my computer?
No, he unplugged something down there.
Oh, he's sabotaging the whole podcast. Baby, you got to just stay here. Sorry, guys. We're having an animal drama. Thank you. Sorry. These dogs have been inside, and we've been gone so much. He's been in crates a lot, and he just wants to participate. Is this audio going to be annoying with him panting?
Yes.
Yeah.
we need to start over.
This is just, they're telling me no. No, we're leaving this in.
No.
You guys, you know this is my... Oh.
No.
Is okay. Is Grace okay? Is Grace okay?
Is magic okay?
Okay, let's stop and let's do...
I think magic might have fell on his nose.
Okay, just give me a second to think. Do we have leashes, Grace?
Yeah.
Just to put him... I think he's going to need them. Now he's just trying to... What do you need? He needs something.
Hi, everyone. Whitney's given up her career to take care of a dog. So we are now taking over the podcast full-time. We're going to talk with... What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about you doing stand-up.
We're never going to talk about ancestral trauma. Here are the things we're not going to talk about.
Oh, no. Oh,
she's
never
back.
Mind. She's back. She started her career
never mind.
Over.
She changed her
we
mind.
Thought you gave your career up to take care of animals, but she's back now. So.
She's trying to.
No, send more animals.
No, we're continuing.
It's going to be an audio editing
nitmar.
Send.
Right. Well, then I'm sending this one to you to edit.
No, I know a lot of people do not like eating on the podcast, but dogs panting is adorable. What kind of psychopath doesn't like a handicapped dog kind of panting? Huh? What's showing?
The wall is showing.
Oh, right. Sorry. You guys
and
are
that's a real wall because we're real. You thought that was a prop wall?
Honestly,
this isn't a set.
Just for kicks, just start over like we just are starting now.
Okay, but we're not.
Right.
We're using that.
Right.
Emily's
right.
trying to silence me and deplatform me and censor
de-platform
me.
Deplatform you?
And
damn.
I will not have it.
Not deplatform.
I
she
will
took
not
you off
have
the whole
it.
Network.
Okay. Now I'm sweating and covered in dog
now
hair.
Yeah, she's panting. That's a
boop,
different pant.
Boop, boop, boop.
Notice the difference in panting.
Today's episode, the guest is the great Kevin Nealon. If he needs an introduction, frankly, I feel sorry for you. You know him as a legend from SNL. He's in many an Adam Sandler movie. He's actually such a good friend that I don't even know half of his credits, but he's, of all my friends, when I got in public with, besides maybe David Spade, he's the most recognized.
What about Sandra Bullock?
We don't go out in public. She won't let anyone
good
know
choice.
That we're friends.
If I was Sandra Bullock, I wouldn't
yeah,
go
we're not public
either.
Friends. We're private friends. But no, he, because he's been so famous for so long. And to me, one of the main sort of things I love about Kevin so much, and this is probably going to come off, every time I try to compliment someone, it comes off as an insult. I just can't help it.
Pretend like you're complimenting someone you don't know. You're good at that.
Okay, my brain just froze. It was like, but here's the thing. Kevin Nealon, he's so funny in SNL and in movies, but when you meet him, he's even funnier. Like, just as a person in conversation, he's so funny. It's like shocking. Like, you miss half of the shit he says because I'm too busy trying to think of a funny thing to say.
That was a good compliment.
Yeah, okay, good.
Stop there.
He's just so funny. And then he does this a hiking show called Hiking with Kevin, where he has like super famous people go on hikes. And this is how incredible Kevin Nealon is. He manages to make that entertaining. Like, everyone's out of breath and everyone's like, oh God, sweating and disgusting, and it's still like really fun and entertaining to watch.
And we're doing a version of it right now.
I know.
And this is what the show is like when you watch it.
I'm not out of breath, I swear. Okay, so we have been touring all around this great country of ours. There's been so many insane things happening on stage.
Oh my God, there's a guy in the front row. He's wearing a shirt that says, I love pimples. Get up here right now. Get up here right now. Look at this. It's a fucking man. Kiss me on the mouth.
Do you want to talk to her?
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is really intense. Holly. What? Holly? Her name is Holly Noel?
That's her middle name.
That's not a real name. Hello, Holly?
Yes.
I almost feel like we need to make a documentary about it or something. I don't know if it's just that people haven't been out in a year, so when they come to the shows, they're especially nuts and feral and excited. I don't know if everyone just thought they were going to die last year and are just like, fuck it. Like, we, you know.
That is definitely what happened.
Is that what it is? Well, I mean, that's acting nuts at shows.
I mean, that's how all of us are acting. So yeah. I assume.
That's a good point.
I assume they're right there with us.
There's just a next level of berserk happening in comedy clubs right now that I've been performing at. And so I naturally have to bring people up on stage and just see the crazy up close. There was a bachelorette party, and I believe it was when we were in Dallas. Okay. And, as you guys know, week two on using this incredibly advanced...
Was it your bachelorette party? Because you're stealing a lot of focus.
There she is! That's awesome!
So she came all the way up on stage. Bless her heart. Which, by the way, in the South, bless your heart means...
Not anything good.
Here she is.
What is your name?
My name's Brenna.
Brenna is about to get married!
She looks so happy. She has, oh my God, she had on the little dick necklaces.
Brenna, when do you get married?
Next week.
Hold on, we can turn the music down a tiny bit so I can hear. You're getting married next week?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Where?
It's at a nature preserve in Plano, Texas.
Oh my gosh! A nature preserve in Plano, Texas. What does your man do?
He's a Marine.
Okay, that's good. That's hot. Oh, he knows how to handle a wet-ass pussy.
Keep in mind that I said that.
Do you like that in bachelorette parties, usually it's girls that are like, look at her. She looks so sweet, so down to earth, so regular. And then immediately it gets time for a wedding and they're like, veil, sash, dicks. It's like they become a different person. They're like, this is my chance to show out.
So true. It's like all these girls in little Draper James, Reese Witherspoon outfits, and look at me and my picnic table, the gingham, and my little,
I might go to the farmer's market, but also I fuck.
Then it's their bachelorette party, and they're like, dicks of Lin Manuel.
They're all like, drunk. They're like, you thought I wasn't fun? Why am I getting married then, bitch? Like, you're like, what the hell?
It's so true. It is sweet because she's wearing a little, like her little sweet little dress.
Yeah, take that sash off and go right to church.
The dick hanging around your neck doesn't really match the paisley print.
And then how did you know he was the one?
I just knew. We've been together in high school for a long time, so...
Buddy!
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, he's 94. And then, how did he propose?
He did it in the mountains. And...
This is so sweet! How old are you?
I'm 19.
You did a show in my hometown?
Plot twist. Plot twist.
About how the dick goes.
I mean, 19. I talked about her wet ass pussy. I talk about dicks on her. Like, I just was like, and what do you say to someone when you are looking at them and you're like, you're having a bachelorette party for a relationship that I know is not going to work out, but you don't know it. So what do I do?
19.
I know. I was like, you're not
high school sweethearts. See, that makes the story less sweet.
But it's also like, can you even be in here? This is 21 and over. Like, are you even allowed?
21. You've set your own standards for comedy.
I don't even know. Can 18-year-olds come in?
I think it's 18 and up for
comedy
clubs.
Oh, because I thought it was to serve alcohol.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know, but her whole family was there. It was just like.
Because you can go into a club at 18 unless they state otherwise.
Oh, I see. They're just not allowed to get alcohol.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was like, is she Mormon? What's happening? Oh my gosh. So that was really stressful. But this entire weekend, Emily was being so funny the entire time. And then
that could be any weekend.
There was
really.
A night that we were just like drinking and like hanging out. And what do you drink? A Prosecco sour with cum on top? What's it called? What is it? A pearl necklace? Okay. She gets a drink that's in a little like as if she's Grace
Marie
Kelly,
Antoinette.
Yeah, in Monaco, holding this little like fancy thing with half of its cream. Like I thought it was like a Russian, white Russian or something. I don't know what are they called, creamy nipples or something. What was it? A pisco sour?
Pisco sour.
Pisco sour. When I did shame her about it on Instagram, everyone came to your defense and said that it's very delicious and it's a Peruvian drink and that it's lovely. But whoever put the roofies in it went overboard because Emily was just going off that night, being so funny, and she just slipped by as we're talking. She's like, well, when I did stand up, I was like, wait, when you did what? And she's like, oh, because I did a couple stand-up sets. Like, and I was like,
she said, my life's a joke.
I was like, wait, what do you mean you did stand-up? This is someone that I've known for 8 years. Used to work at SNL. Like, this is someone that's seen comedy from every angle. The one thing I did not know she did was stand-up. So in my head, I'm like, oh, she did this when she was like 22. And I was like, oh, when was this? And she was like, it was like 2 years ago. So I told her I had to see her set, and she had to show it to me. So we watched Emily let us watch her stand-up. Are you sure you're okay with us airing this, premiering this?
Well, we've already called her a diva. What else can we do?
It's a call to the world premiere.
But the reason...
Come on in. Let's see what you got.
The reason you like this story is because of how it ended up.
Which is?
The shared album.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Hold on. Back up. Emily, will you please tell the story of... I can't believe I just remembered this. So Emily told me this story. Go.
Go.
It's a tough listen.
It all starts when once I had a boyfriend. And I decided to start doing stand-up. But I didn't tell Whitney because I knew she'd be super threatened. So I went to do my little set, and this was my second set, I believe, and I figured I was so good, I was gonna submit myself to an NBC stand-up contest, because I'd done it.
Second set ever.
She said, here's my special. I've edited it.
It was 4 minutes. So I asked a guy in the audience to record it. So one of the guys that wasn't allowed to leave, because he'd also paid $7 to be there. My big finale joke is about HPV, like finding out you have HPV. Everyone has HPV. Don't come at me. I was joking around being at the doctor and the doctor telling you have HPV and then hoping that you have the cancer kind and not the wart kind, right? So I was like, made a joke about like, because I'd rather have the cancers than the warts. The warts don't ever go away. So just being like relieved, right? Which I thought was
It's a good joke. It's like, yes, I was praying for the cancer kind.
Right. Because you'd rather die than have warts. Got it. Love it.
I totally get the joke.
So you find out you have the cancer kind, and you're like, phew. And then Thank God. Hilarious. Oh my God.
Laughter ensues.
So I couldn't figure out how to get it from my phone to the computer.
Which is why she was a great hire for this show.
I'm creatively show running. So I figured, okay, well, this cable's not working. I can't get it in the computer. So I'm just going to put it in the cloud. I'm going to put it in an album. And then the album I can find on my computer.
You dropped an album already? Damn, you were on Spotify? She was like, I'll just do an album. I can't get the video up. We'll do an album.
You know what? I'll just take a selfie, make some cover art. I got an album. I hear you, universe.
Listening, I'm okay, listening, go. Always.
No, I put it in an album, and I didn't realize at the time, but I uploaded it to my boyfriend at the time's family's shared Hawaii photo album.
Where it belonged.
Which means, but the problem is that his mother is a cervical cancer survivor.
First of all, that's not the only problem.
And isn't she lucky? So what's the issue here?
Okay, so didn't the sister call you? What happened?
So the sister calls me and is like, hey, God. Em, great set. Like, that's...
First of all, there's so many... Once you've seen the set, which we will premiere live on Good For You, that joke was like 5 minutes in. So the fact that the more horrifying part of the story is not that they heard you joking about cervical cancer, it's that they had to listen to 4 minutes of other jokes before. Like, they did watch the whole thing. Was it good? Well, no, it is definitely.
Can't say nothing around you two about this thing.
Okay, there's nothing. I must say, Emily Noonan is the comedian that's made me laugh the hardest of any comedian. Because I've been laughing I am laughing so hard. There's videos of me laughing so hard that I like truly cannot breathe. I mean, this is me.
Oh my god.
I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to do. I need this. I just laughed. This is a good idea. Oh, okay. We have to stop. I've never seen anything like it. like crying. Like, I'm laughing so hard.
Delusional. I'm scared for myself.
You realized how crazy you were in this moment.
I'm scared for myself.
After watching that. This is the set that went to your, this one?
That went to your boyfriend's mom.
By the way, Emily is, I mean, I've never had this much confidence on stage, and I've been doing this for 15 years.
So rough year for successful men, right? They're having a rough year. I had a rough year too, but nobody makes a big deal out of that. As someone that pretends to be like an outraged feminist on social media, I'm very happy about the Me Too movement. I think it's long overdue.
You're so polite. Also, well spoken.
Just guys, it's long overdue. Okay, I'm not gonna get into
you're
details.
You're kind of using your customer service voice too, just a little bit.
But it's also like, I'm not gonna get into why it's long overdue.
And the hand. But like,
I only have 3 minutes.
This hand right here. But
and then,
guys.
And then the fact that she's doing what, 2 or 3 minutes? And no, like, I'm gonna upload this to the NBC website, but I'm not gonna like memorize any of my jokes. Like,
I had a piece of paper.
Who has time for that? Like,
memorizing jokes is really hard.
I want them to see my raw talent and how this just rolls off my tongue, and I'm just thinking it. Not that I'm just gonna check my notes real quick.
I have been disappointed by men myself. Obviously, I have a father.
The timing on that is pretty good. It's pretty good.
So, but I actually worked with Harvey Weinstein. I worked with him for 2 years.
Okay, you can't. This is.
I love that you're enunciating. I love that so much.
I saw him all the time. I was alone with him occasionally, and he had the audacity to never touch me. Like, he couldn't.
All I'm thinking is, what do you mean you worked with Harvey Weinstein for 2 years? We're all we're homeless. Like, what? Doing what? Everyone's like,
all the people listening. Yeah. Emily is like, so guys, I've had a huge career.
I like work with Harvey Weinstein.
I want you all to know.
I was with him every day for 2 years. Like, what?
I'll be sending him my tape personally.
I don't even need this
all this
guy.
Auditioning.
Everyone's like, cool. Then why are you at the Wall comedy show paying to do stand up for a bunch of homeless people?
I want
to
see you pose with my hand in my pocket.
Yeah. It's like, why? Everyone's like, you should have fucked Harvey Weinstein. This is what happens when women don't fuck Harvey Weinstein. They end up in basements.
They're like, it's going to be really hard.
Not have been less interested. Like, I think he once told me that my fly was open. Like, he couldn't believe that.
Is that true?
Yes, in an elevator.
What happened?
That's really
funny.
He goes,
oh, your zipper's down.
And you said, all
and he was like,
you.
Please cover up anything sexual about you.
That's disgusting.
So you're the only woman Harvey Weinstein didn't want to undress but wanted to dress.
Correct.
Like, wait, he'd be like, you want to buy this coat?
Wait for my next Bill Cosby zinger.
Oh, hold on.
Dan, you were hitting them all.
It's kind of like finding out that you were, like, knocked unconscious in front of Bill Cosby and he just, like, called the paramedics, like, waiting for them.
That is really funny, Emily.
It is.
Like, actually. But you said it like you hated the joke, like you were, you know what I mean? You were like, long overdue. I'm not making a joke about Bill Cosby because it's long overdue and I do not approve of his behavior, but I know I need to use his name for this joke and I know this is going to kill this is a no-no, guys.
I like pandas. I really relate to pandas. They sleep all day. When they're not sleeping, they're eating. They have sex once a year. And everybody's trying to, like, reinvigorate their zest for life. And they're just like, leave us alone. They just want to extinct themselves. I like kids.
Did you just say they just want to extinct themselves?
Spoiler alert, I did not hear back from NBC.
What I love about this is that no matter who you are or no matter what, comedy looks the same for everyone.
It's so true.
This is literally, there's not one person who's in comedy you could show that to and be like, that's me.
Yeah. 100%. No, my first sets, I was just like, bah! Like, I don't know. I was like in a different, you just have a, not a confidence, a almost.
I was like, you're welcome.
I'm here. Do this so much, I'm barely here.
My first sets, I was just like, I'm going to talk about every celebrity I can think of because that's what I think people do on TV. Mm-hmm. As if I was their friend in real life.
Wait, didn't you have a celebrity story recently? Or like you had a Hollywood moment?
I think I excused myself because.
Oh, you're going to leave for my Hollywood moment?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go send that tape to my agent.
I had a big Hollywood moment.
Tell me.
Last month. As you know, our taxes were due.
Yeah.
And,
what does that mean?
I did not know that when I was working before my promotion that I was hourly and not salary. Someone definitely told me, I'm sure. And your boy didn't pay no taxes last year and owes taxes. And I said, oh, right now?
Wait, no.
And I said, that is very celebrity of me.
Oh,
I'll
my
get
gosh.
To it when I get to it.
Wait. So, because I remember the first time I had to pay that I actually owed taxes, I had spent all the money in my bank account because I didn't save up for taxes later.
Yeah.
And I couldn't afford the taxes the first year that I made a lot of money.
Well, here's the thing. I'm like, I know about taxes. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
I knew about I knew that.
But are you a corporation?
Happened.
Are you?
No, I'm not. But I also didn't, for some reason, and someone definitely told me for sure I was
you're
told.
You're like, I imagine, right? Someone handles
no,
this.
No, for sure I was told, like, we're not taking taxes out, but I was probably doing something or I was doing something else, I'm sure.
I see.
And I was just like, so I would get my checks and I was like, well, lovely. And then didn't ever look to see if taxes were coming out of them.
Oh,
and so
my
I'm
God.
Just like, oh, okay, well.
What?
I'll get you when I get you, I guess.
I'll get you when I get you. And then so you still.
I just filed them and they said, hey, you owe this money. And I said, well, we'll work something out.
We'll get you'll.
I was like, this is very LA to just be like, I'm not paying them.
I mean, so still haven't paid them?
Well, no, I set up a payment plan. I paid what I could out of my, like, because so, I have emergency money that I set aside. Because yes. I'm not like, crazy with money.
Yeah, yeah.
So I used the emergency money to pay what I could. And then I was like, and the rest you'll get in increments throughout the next couple years.
you'll get it when you get it. I'm going to put the government on layaway. And you'll
I mean, haven't you taken enough?
I mean, what more? I mean, especially, had you also never paid California taxes before?
No, Tennessee doesn't have taxes like that. So they also wanted some money too.
Oh, California no, was said, that traumatizing?
I said, first of all, everyone's leaving. Shouldn't you be happy I stayed?
You should pay me to stay here,
yeah,
frankly.
Why don't you give me that money?
Because it is, how much more is it? Like in terms of percentage? If you're in a no income
Oh, how much do they want from me?
State?
California wanted a good couple thousand from me. Yeah, and I have one account that is all my bills and everything, and I have one that's just fun, like for me.
That is stressful.
But, I mean, it'll be fine. I just thought it was really funny.
Magoobies, Baltimore, June 10th through 12th. We'll be there. Limited tickets left. And then Codependent Tour with Whitney Cummings and Taylor Tomlinson. That's July 23rd in Reno. The Mirage Las Vegas, August 7th. And I swear I'm
She'll be there. It won't be a mirage.
I'm gonna dress up, I swear, and not wear pajamas. And then the merch is out.
Merch.
Tell me about it.
It is, first of all, it is edgy, iconic.
People are going to ask if about your what you're wearing right now. Why isn't that our merch?
Well, because we don't have the license to Edward Scissorhands.
Has anyone figured out what this is? Does everyone know these are the houses from Edward Scissorhands on his hoodie?
Isn't that fun? And the little topiary?
Holy shit, that's where'd you get that?
Dumb Good? They just take shows and movies and stuff.
I love it. It looks a little flammable, but I love it.
It smells flammable.
New merch is out. You know where to get it. And enjoy Kevin Nealon, please.
Don't ride elephants.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Baby, where did our love go? Oh, you can. You know what I learned about karaoke?
Huh.
Whatever song you're picking.
Okay. You need it to be in a karaoke place.
No, yeah. First, you got to be in the karaoke place. No. Whatever song you pick, before you start singing the lyrics, you come in on it. Like, you start the song like. Yeah, the lyrics haven't come up yet. The music is going. You go like, whenever I see you, then. You know what I mean?
I don't. I wasn't paying attention.
You rev up. All right, I'm going to do it again.
I wasn't paying attention because I was looking at myself in the camera. What? The legend Kevin Nealon is doing comedy. I have better things to do, like check out myself in the camera. I'm ready.
I noticed that in karaoke night, if you want to really fool people, mm-hmm. before you start singing the lyrics of the song, you kind of rev up with a little like warm up as coming up on the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
Like, give me a name of a song.
Wild Thing.
Wild Thing, okay. Wild Thing. Yeah, then you go into it. Because they're hearing you go, wow, he's got a voice.
I like to just put my finger in my and just.
People isn't it the nose you put it in?
It
no. Or the ear?
I think it's the ear.
You put it in your dog bit in the ear?
I love that you said that because you just revealed that we're real friends.
I know a lot about you.
That's the first thing I ask people when they come on the podcast. I say, are we friends?
We are friends, but only in little doses.
What does that even mean? But I also think that there's a limit to how close you can be to a married man. You know what I mean?
What are we talking about, close or friends?
We became friends. You don't know how we originally met at a Knicks game.
Oh, no.
Yep.
What? Was I playing?
We met at a Knicks game.
In New York?
Yes. So when you get to sit on the court or whatever because they think you're famous or confused you with Sarah Silverman or whoever I got there, I'm not sure. But we were upstairs and there's like a room with a buffet.
It was the VIP lounge.
The VIP lounge. You were with Susan, Susan Yeagley, who I believe you might have been engaged to at the time, not married.
And I don't know how I would have gotten into a Knicks game if I wasn't on SNL. Maybe it was my ex-wife.
Maybe. Nope. Uh-uh. It was Sue. I remember it because I called my... It ruined the relationship I was currently in because I saw your relationship with her. Have I never told you this story?
I think you might have, but I dismissed it.
The COVID fog?
Yeah.
I dismissed it. You're Kevin Nealon. Yes, and. When did you stop yes anding?
Do you know who I saw up in there in that lounge? I think I've gone to maybe two or three games. Woody Allen once.
Have you seen the documentary?
I took a piss next to Woody Allen.
Okay.
I did see the documentary. And Walter Cronkite.
Wow.
And Walter Cronkite, I must have been doing Weekend Update at the time because he saw me. He goes, "Want to hear a dirty joke?" And he pulled me to the side.
Oh, no.
And he told me a dirty joke, a BJ joke.
Oh, no. Was it funny?
I don't even remember the joke. I'm still like, I can't believe that Walter Cronkite just did that.
I have a theory. A lot of journalists, like on-air journalists, I feel like wanted to be actors or comics. Brian Williams, all these guys, when you meet them, they're like, they're life of the party. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to be an objective journalist? Like, I feel like they're wise guys. You know? Don't you think?
I'm doing a character right now.
I feel like we're not. I feel like
I'm doing a character who is very methodically taking the bottle top off when he's listening, drinking, and paying attention.
You're doing a character who's just letting my story bomb horribly.
But I'm not hearing anything. Just putting and screwing the cap.
By the way, it's not that different from Kevin Nealon.
No. I'm sorry, what was the story again?
But I do want to say about you and Sue, you guys were, I call her Sue. No one calls her Sue. You don't call her Sue.
I'll go Sue's. Sue's, I call her Sue's, yeah.
You guys were doing this. You would say, every piece of food you would see, she would go, "I like my women like I like my almonds."
Yeah.
And then you would say whatever.
And you told your boyfriend, "Why can't we do that?"
Yeah, like brown and in a bowl. Like, or whatever it was. And you guys would just crack each other up. It was you two in the corner, like cracking each other up at the buffet, and it made me so mad because I was like,
I felt that anger coming from you.
A relationship's supposed to be fun? Like, they're cracking each other up. Like, that's what friendships are. And then I was in like such a crazy bad relationship, and then it fucked up like my, you ruined my life.
I'm sorry. Well, luckily there was only one bad relationship you had.
Yeah, only one. Yeah, after that it was smooth sailing.
yeah. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm glad that looked like we were creatively fun.
But we're real friends.
We are friends. I've always respected you as a producer and a writer and a comic, and I also admire your energy and your ambition. You're very ambitious, and all things that make a difficult relationship.
All things that make you a nightmare to me. No, but I'm so grateful to you because you have been like... It's tricky. It's like you're so much wildly more like successful and you're a legend, but you never let people feel like they're beneath you. You know, like I feel like you, for some weird reason, treat people that are not equals to you, like equals, like comics and stuff. And I felt like we could be friends for some reason. I felt like, I mean, it sounds delusional looking back. The fact that
it really does seem
it's
that way.
Weird. And you've never been creepy. You've never been, you've just always, I don't know. I just, you're the greatest.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah.
You've
thank
never
you.
Flirted well, with me. I'm frankly offended, and I want an answer why.
Well,
what,
first
what
of all,
don't I have that you want?
A, you're wrong. I've flirted with you, but it is so discreet. You don't even know.
Yeah, this is a long game trying to make me jealous with Susan. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
I went out of my way to get married.
Had a kid.
Yeah. Well, what if I did flirt with you?
I probably would have done whatever you wanted. like an old, I mean, an older successful comedian that I looked up to. Like, I mean, you had all the power in the world to do anything you ever wanted. And you
see,
just,
I never,
you just did jokes in movies and got married. What's wrong with you?
Very boring guy. I've always been married. Even when I wasn't married for 3 years, I
was married to myself.
I didn't even sleep around or anything. Huh. I didn't even like, you know, maybe I was with one or two people, but no sex or anything.
You're just like a serial monogamist.
I think so. Yeah. At least when I'm not in the marriage.
You once said that one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I have like a list of the top.
That's not true.
No, I'm. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you want?
You sound like my son. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
He wants to show me something. He's always wanted to show you something. Like, are you ready?
Oh, that's
ready?
So cute.
I say, yeah, I'm always ready, man.
No, daddy's on Instagram. You were on the Adam Carolla show. This must have been 16 years ago. I just like moved to LA, maybe even longer. And I would listen to Adam Carolla's radio show in the morning. Okay. And it was 97.1. And Adam Carolla had this, you know, gift of just being able to talk and talk and talk about fucking anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
And like we're doing.
Like we're doing now. Yeah. He was kind of doing podcasts kind of before.
How do people get in a room with nobody else and just talk?
No, talk. But he would get in the room with a huge celebrity who he'd be like, where are you from? He'd be like, they'd be like, Lady Gaga would be like, I'm from Illinois. He'd be like, well, when I was in Illinois. And then he would just tell a story about himself for 40 minutes.
I know it.
So
here's the thing about Illinois.
The person's like, why am I here? Like, it was like a jumping off point. Yeah. So, but I was obsessed with listening to him, and it was very hypnotic to me, and I wanted to learn from him because he was so confident. And I would listen to him. I would sit outside my car above the Comedy Store. I lived right above the Comedy Store on Miller Drive, and I would sit in my car and listen to him because I didn't have a radio inside. It wasn't on the computer yet. You were on promoting a stand-up special you had done at the El Portal Theater?
Probably.
And you said, we're shooting, I shot at the El Portal Theater in Burbank. And he said, oh, I went to high school in Burbank. And you went, yeah, that's why we shot it there. And it was just like he didn't. And then he was like, anyway, my high school, like he just went off on a 20-minute tangent. And it's like, I don't think you even realized how funny that was to me at the moment, because I'm always like, he'll turn everything around and figure out a way to make it a story about him. And it's in my top five, like Brody Stevens yelling at the Comedy Store audience on New Year's Eve in like 2007 is like my number one.
And guess who was my warm-up act at the El Portal Theater?
Brody Stevens.
Yeah.
We love Brody Stevens. Google him.
So, you know, we talked about doing this podcast a couple of days ago with all you guys. And there's a chain, a thread.
Uh-oh.
And we're trying to figure out a day to come. And I thought for some reason you lived way out in Westlake.
Why?
And I thought, oh, what a nightmare. I drive all the way out there, rush hour traffic. It's going to take me at least 2 hours. All right. We're
and you
friends.
Still said
I'll
yes?
Come out. She went on my hike. I like her. I'm going to go out there. I can flirt with her. No.
This is what we do. Comedians resentfully go and talk to each other.
Yeah. No.
For free. What is this?
So there's one thing worse than getting stuck in traffic, leaving 2 hours early and getting stuck in traffic.
Getting
is
married.
Leaving 2 hours early and there's no traffic. So you have to stall for 2 hours.
I can't believe you just said this, because today I did a podcast this morning. I was 30 minutes late and early. And I realized being early is actually ruder than being late.
Yes. Yes.
The people were like frazzled. The guy's hair was wet. Like,
didn't we talk about this on my hike I did with you?
Maybe.
Is it rude? I think we did. Is
to
it rude
be early.
To be too early?
Yes. That's so funny. You edited it, so you remembered. But when I did your hike, I was sick and I remember nothing.
You were so nice.
I was really sick. I had like bronchitis or something.
Yes, you had no voice. Oh, that was
which
great.
Is, which
interview.
Was everybody's
was
loved great. I literally could not speak. Everyone's like, I love that interview. I'm like, I could barely, it was like I had like the faintest little whisper of a thing. And
so I sat at the top of the hill, you know, top of the canyon. There's a little lookout place.
Up here today.
Yep. And I spent about 20 minutes there kind of
ruminating.
Looking at all your Instagrams just so I remember who you are. And then I drove
refresh
down.
The hippocampus.
I just drove down and there was a Starbucks right there. So I had to use the bathroom. So I thought, well, I'll go in there and kill like 10 minutes. So I went in there and I feel like I have to order something, you know?
If you go in, you do. And you're Kevin Nealon, you're famous.
Yeah.
So for Kevin Nealon to walk in and go into the bathroom for 10 minutes and leave is a bad way to leave a bunch of people that have Twitter.
Right. So I got in there, and before I used the bathroom, I ordered toilet paper. No, I said, do you have a bathroom? I said, yeah, it's over there. I said, oh, great. Now, I'm trying not to eat when I don't want to eat. And whenever I go to Starbucks, I'll get either that egg fajita wrap, you know?
The egg bites are good.
Feta cheese wrap.
Uh-huh.
And the egg bites are probably the healthiest, yeah. But I'll get a little vanilla scone or a Bix scone. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to get on that train again because I've been so good. Like I was telling them, like the last 2 days, I've been really good with my diet because I've gained a lot of weight over the pandemic.
Oh, no.
Because food tastes so much better when you don't have COVID. It's true. But anyway, so I didn't order anything. I came out of the bathroom. There's other people in front ordering. I said, well, I'm not going to wait here for this. This is so rude. I just left. People don't really recognize me anymore.
I don't think, you know what? Here's what I think is happening. I don't think it's people don't recognize you. Because I had this too. Because I was like, it's because my hair is blue. Remember the, did you watch The Comeback? With Lisa Kudrow?
Yeah.
Episode 6 in the first season?
I think it was minute 7 in episode 6.
And she goes to the People's Choice Awards and she wants to look young and hip. Yeah. So instead of wearing her signature Mickey red waves, she does like a straight blowout and like a smoky eye to try to be young and hip. And none of the paparazzi know who she is. So she goes, I should have come as me.
That's great.
And I always say that when I'm like out in public and someone doesn't recognize me. I'm like, I should have come as me. But I think what's happening is because I felt like that too. I was like, are people not recognizing me as much? Or also it's COVID. No one wants to talk to anybody. So
no, I've been recognized more with a mask on than without a mask.
That's so interesting.
But I will tell you, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind not getting recognized. But
I think everyone is so on their phones now that they're not even, they're not recognizing
you. Nice.
They're not seeing anyone. No, I need this to be true for me because I don't think I'm getting recognized as much, but everyone's on their phones. I kind of like it.
That's true. But you know, it used to be where
no one's sitting in line just looking at people. When's the last time you just looked around without, stood in line and didn't just stare at your phone the whole time?
Depends on what restaurant you're at. You know? But I used to be where I would walk into a restaurant and heads would turn.
Hmm.
You know? Like, why does he get a table before us? You know?
Right,
who's
right.
he? But right. no, but, you but know, you I would get recognized. But anyway, and it was a very gradual thing where I stopped getting recognized so much, mm-hmm. you know? And I was fine with that. I didn't even know it. I was in Austin doing a radio gig with a friend of mine. Dale Dudley does a show in Austin. And we've been friends for a long time. He's like the Howard Stern of Austin, you know? And then we'll go out afterwards or the next day and meet for lunch.
But he's not psyched Joe Rogan, just moved there.
Probably not. So we sit in this restaurant and he goes, you know what I noticed about you? This is about a year ago. He goes, you don't get recognized as much as you used to. And I never dawned on me. And I thought, you know what? You're right. You're right. And I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. I really don't.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that in any way you're looking for it less, so you notice it less, you know? Like you find what you're looking for,
maybe.
Right? For the most part, I think.
Yeah, you do. When somebody's looking for a sign, they'll always find it.
Yeah.
Like my wife is always like ladybugs. Are things. You know? Like if she has to make a big decision.
Yeah.
And she's thinking one way or the other, and she's decided on something, mm-hmm. then she'll see a ladybug. She goes, there's my sign.
Yeah.
That's the right.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's coincidence.
But also, but the people that do recognize, I'm finding more and more, the ones that do recognize you know what you had for breakfast yesterday. Whereas it used to be like, hey, oh my God, you're the girl from the thing and the show. Yes, yeah, so-and-so. Now it's like, you're Whitney Cummings. How's your knee? And how is the Lyme disease? You know what I'm saying? They know, so it's like a quality, not quantity thing now.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone doesn't kind of know you from something. A couple people at the airport gate like are like, how's your mom doing? You know?
That's right.
Like that they feel right. so close to you. Do you feel like it's a different kind of fame since you've been doing the Hiking with Kevin podcast on YouTube?
It's a different kind of fame, yeah.
It's a more intimate
kind of fame. It's a more outdoorsy fame.
Yep.
Hey, you know, we were talking about our storage units.
We really were. We got down to business.
And I
got
to tell you something.
We were in my storage units yesterday.
Oh my God. I've had a storage unit for at least 15 years mm-hmm. when I used to live in Manhattan Beach. I have it in El Segundo.
I have a storage unit where I keep my
IUD. You have them all
IUD.
Over the country.
What?
You keep your IUDs in a certain storage unit? Is it 10 by 10? I have probably spent, in the last 15 years, close to $80,000 or $90,000 storing junk. Just it's like I'm renting a dumpster.
Because it's $500 a month.
It's about $450 a month now. And it's just nostalgic stuff. It's my kid's clothes from when he was one and two at his crib.
Is the idea of that to save baby clothes so when you have another baby, you'll have them?
I think originally that was the thing in the crib. So, you know, it's stuff like that.
Can you imagine walking into that? How fucking creepy that storage unit must be? To walk in and just see a crib and a bunch of baby clothes and a bunch of like SNL posters, not knowing it's Kevin Nealon's storage unit.
I get sad when I go there. And I'm the only one that goes there because nobody wants to go down there with me. Yeah. And I walk down. It's like going to a morgue. I visit that place so infrequently. It's probably, I visit it the same amount I'd visit a friend in prison. You know, I go down there and I have the key and I walk in there and I open up that door and it makes that loud noise and I turn on that light bulb, that bare light bulb, and there's just so much history in there, like, you know, and I get sad. I see like old stuff, you know, that I, that parents' pictures and ex-wives, you know.
Can I ask you a question?
Pictures of my ex-wives all over the place.
Let me ask you.
You don't need my permission to ask
me. Do you think you would have been this nostalgic or it would have been as emotional before the pandemic or was it?
Yeah, it's always been.
Because there's a weird...
That's why I have a storage unit because I'm nostalgic. I save stuff that I don't need and I'm just paying for it. I keep Halloween decorations in there and I keep Christmas decorations in there. And for that amount of money, I could buy new decorations every year.
I know, but then but they're your decor... You wouldn't even throw them away?
But I could keep the special ones in my garage.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But some stuff you got to keep. I'm a big fan of keeping. I mean, we went to my storage unit yesterday. I love going to a storage unit. We went to two of them and it was.
How what size?
10 by 10? Yeah, too big. 10 by 10?
Maybe like 10 by 6.
10 by 6, probably. Not as big as yours. And we found old journals. It was nice to put together some of the pieces now that I've been through therapy a little bit, now that I'm ready to sort of see what happened. Like looking through the journals and stuff, it was like, okay, I'm ready to see what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Now you could step back and look at it.
Yeah.
Like from the
walk
from
in,
the
it was
future.
Like nine like Whitney sitcom poster. It was like, okay, that happened. Like that wasn't a dream.
I so enjoyed watching you develop your sitcom, the whole process, and watching you be on it. And watching it all unfold, because
I knew you were
driven, and you were excited to do it, and you were good, you were good at it, and I just I've been doing this for a long time, so I'm always interested when somebody's starting a new show, and so just watching that come together and I went to the table read, remember?
That's right.
Over at Radford.
Radford's, UBS Radford.
And where we would have our table reads like every day when I was on Man with a Plan.
That's right.
With Matt LeBlanc. And many times I'd be in that room going, this is where Whitney did it, but they had the table on this end and we have ours over here. Maybe that's why the show didn't last.
I mean, I didn't last that much longer either.
Yeah. But, and then I remember thinking at the time, Whitney, she's a powerhouse. She's got like a sitcom. She's got a talk show. She's doing specials. You know, and now you're still a powerhouse.
Reddit doesn't agree with you for some reason.
Reddit
just thought I was a loud, obnoxious, busted whore.
Where is our waiter?
I know this. I mean, podcasts are like weird dates.
It is. It's like, I mean, this would be an entertaining lunch for me if I was out to lunch with you.
Yeah. This is what we're doing. I mean, I remember a time when neither of us had podcasts. Did you do yours kind of out of obligation?
Well, I don't have a podcast.
Okay, well, you
I
did.
A web series.
Oh, it's a series. It's a web series.
It's a web series.
So it's, well, it's, but it's thought, is it thought of as a web series? Oh, because people say, like, have you done Kevin's podcast?
Yeah, it's more of a web series.
Okay.
They say, have you done Hiking with Kevin?
Hiking with Kevin. Series? It's a big deal. It took you a while to ask me. You get giant celebrities.
It took me a while to ask you because I know how inundated you are with people asking you to do podcasts.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way. It gets to a point where, oh, not another one. And then they're moving like to Valley and to Austin. And
who's the most famous person you've had on your podcast?
Besides you?
Shut up.
Famous?
You've had so many
probably Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sandler?
I asked, Sandler, Conan. I went through all my friends.
Yeah. Kudrow did it. Kudrow's hard to get on a web series.
I got a lot of the friends.
Yeah.
I got Matt LeBlanc, Lisa Kudrow. Uh-huh.
Who's the person that was the hardest to schedule with?
Matt LeBlanc kind of strung me along for a long time.
Because it is, as Spade says, it is doing a Friends podcast is like jury duty.
Yeah.
It's just like a matter of time. Like, you know you have to do it. Like, you try to put it off as much as you can. Like, over complimenting, it's the same as like being early now is almost ruder than being late. I think over complimenting is almost ruder.
Over anything is bad.
But when people like come into your house, you know, and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is gorgeous. What, 20 million? And you're like, no, but
now, I'll take it.
Yeah, like now I feel like an asshole. Like, there's this one actress that Emily, you might know who it is, who used to always over compliment me as a way of negging me. And it took me so long to figure out. She'd be like, how are you doing? Are you dating Chris Evans? And I'm like, no. Like, it was like, oh my God, did I just hear that you just booked that Scorsese movie? And I'd be like, nope, didn't even get asked to come in. Like, the over complimenting. Yeah. So then I had to admit, oh no, I'm just a piece of shit. And then she'd be like, oh, I thought that, oh my God, I thought that was you. Was that not you? Oh, well, you should have gotten it. Yeah. It's like, you know good and well that I didn't fucking get it. Like, what is this? That like passive aggressive shit. Okay, I've been talking to Kevin Nealon. And if you've heard me talk to Kevin Nealon for a prolonged amount of time, you're probably thinking, you know what Whitney needs? More iron. I was
energy.
I was tired during this episode.
Considering the ad started. Okay.
Because I know that this interview was a little low energy because I was not taking care of myself because I was moving. And I truly believe this is not because we're reading an ad. I do believe it's because I was without my daily harvest. And when I am left to my own devices to eat without daily harvest, which has it's always just going to be healthy. I know that it's always
healthy, always easy, always delicious.
It's a no-brainer.
Daily harvest they have snacks too, not just meals. They have those little protein balls, bites. They have
you're
soups,
obsessed with those.
Salad.
No,
I'm
obsessed with these things. I don't know why I can't bring them up. It's a cup with everything you need to make a smoothie. I mean, look at this smoothie.
Oh, the plant-based ice cream, look, which is new.
That is delicious. And
I don't even like ice cream, and I love it. Also, but if you're somebody who's like rushing around, like on the go, these are great because like you just blend the smoothies up in the container they're in and take it with you. There's like no extra cups and trash and plates, and everything's like the way it is.
There's
for you
a hole
to enjoy
for a straw
right there
in the top. You don't have to make your own hole. Yeah. You don't have to drink out of it, spill on yourself like an asshole. You have no excuse not to be healthy.
No,
at this point.
Stay cool, calm, and collected during the summer heat. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter code GOODFORYOU to get $25 off your first box. That's code GOODFORYOU for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. dailyharvest.com.
And now we are going to talk about betterhelp.com. And I'm not going to make a joke right now because I'm so secure with myself after having therapy that I don't feel the need to be on all the time. I can just sit here and be myself because I am enough. Benton, take it away before I start crying.
Okay. As someone who's not enough, I will tell you that BetterHelp is great.
As someone who's too much.
As someone who is overflowing. BetterHelp is great. I actually used it recently.
You told me about this.
Yeah, it was wonderful because here's the thing. Whenever you need something like BetterHelp, you're not like, oh, let me get up, let me get dressed, let me go somewhere, let me park, drive. You're not doing that. I'm like, I'm in my bed. Who can I chat with on my phone that's not my mom?
Yes. And or BetterHelp, one of my friends who's just going to
Who's going to be like, well, I mean, the other day, shut up. I'm
not. By the way, and who's not in therapy either.
Yeah, they're all jealous of you, so don't talk to them. Go to your therapist. Go to betterhelp.com. It was so easy. I literally logged it on my phone. I found someone I wanted to chat with. You get like options on how you want to chat, what time. It's very easy.
You can't. I mean, we talked on the phone the other day and it was like, you were saying things that she said that, I mean, this is going to sound egomaniacal, but I was like, yeah, I can tell that's a good therapist if she said that.
BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional counseling. You also have financial aid available. That's really important, I think. It's available everywhere. And this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And good for you listeners, get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Whitney.
You think you overanalyze too much?
Nope. Not the slightest. I don't hold on to anything. Well, of course, that's our job as comedians is to break things down, overanalyze.
Here's what I'm trying to get rid of. Ameliorate.
Ameliorate.
Like my,
it's a great word.
Vocabulary?
Yep, I do.
I'm trying to teach my kid a new word every day.
Okay, what's give me some recent ones. We used to do that on this podcast, but no one liked it. Yeah, we used to do word of the day. No one appreciated it.
Oh.
We would learn a new word every week, and I'd use it twice in the podcast.
Acorn.
what word? Give me some good words.
I think on social media and in stand-up, there's too much use of the word guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey guys, how's it going, guys?
What you
guys,
know
they, are you like me?
Guys. Hey guys. Well, no, that's, hey, I mean, that's my fault. So
do you
this
do that?
Is an attack. Yes. I mean, probably.
You hadn't done it
I
once,
do like though. Guys, but you know, I got in trouble because people go like, oh, you shouldn't say guys anymore because it's a gendered thing, which brought me to this. I was trying to work on a bit about this. I was trying to work on a joke about this. You'll tell me if it's worth thinking about any longer.
About, and then I want to hear about your ring.
This ring that's
yeah.
a B?
Yeah, with the B.
I got it yesterday on the shoot. Someone, the stylist.
It's my storage unit. I didn't even know I had it.
About like saying like, hey guys, or whatever. And then it got into this conversation on Twitter about whether you should be able to use pet names for people in the workplace. Like, honey, sweetie, you know, what up, chief? What up? You know, like sort of how, and I was thinking about it because I do that. I go like, hey, baby. Hey, cupcake. Like, I just, hey, honey, honey. I do. I'm like, honey, can I have a thing? I do it. And everyone's like, it's sexist. And I was like, okay, yes, I know you should be mad at me, but it's, I'm not demeaning you. It's just that it's sexually, it's just that I didn't remember your name. Get me on that. Do you know what I'm saying? Get me on that. Don't get me on the sexism thing. Get me on the fact that I just didn't bother to learn your name. Because I'm not doing it because I'm trying. I want to call you that. I don't remember your name, so I just have to say something.
Do you feel it's much more difficult now to do stand-up because you don't want to offend anybody or get called out on
so
something?
I think it's so much funnier now. I think all of this has made us like fucking so much funnier. You can just go up and go like, what up, bitches? And everyone's like, ah, thank God someone said something edgy for once. It's what I think cancel culture doesn't understand. They're just making us stronger because comedians, like, we operate in spaces that are taboo and we say things that are dangerous. And the more things you make off limits, the more tension you create and the funnier we get.
Yeah, I mean,
except
but
for all
I,
the people that got canceled.
Yeah,
except for all the famous comedians that are now working at Applebee's.
I've lost so many friends to death recently and cancel culture.
Yeah,
those two. Mm-hmm. But I guess they're both cancel culture. It's funny because my wife is not a comic stand-up fan.
Interesting.
She dislikes stand-up.
It's a weird.
And I don't think she ever saw my stand-up. The first time she saw me was at Largo. Mm. I was doing a new bit, and her manager brought her. And
Little Largo or the
Little Largo
last year? Wow,
Fairfax.
The one on Fairfax.
Yeah. And so, and then I found out, you know, over the years that she just doesn't like stand up. She's more of an improv person.
Stand up is, you know, I love doing stand up. I love, but watching it when Sebastian goes on, when you go on, when Burr goes on, I'll like run in and watch from the back.
You don't run in and watch.
I do actually because
you do a little bit.
No,
yeah.
I just told you I watched you talk about Anthony Bourdain. I heard you were
that
on
was
stage.
Like a year
I
ago.
Went up. Well, 2 years no one's ago. Done stand up for the past year. You fucking dick.
All right, take it easy. I'm going to take a break. Let Whitney calm down. We'll be back in a few minutes.
I'm sorry I didn't come to your Zoom show, Kevin.
You didn't. Nobody did.
Wait, but what was I saying before you hurt my feelings?
Throw your head back again. You have no fillings, or are they all white?
I think I have.
Had them replaced?
I had them replaced with porcelain. Yeah.
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 I had mine replaced. Something
I had
a little
silver
cheaper.
Tooth when I was like 12, like here, and it was.
What gang were you in?
And it was very traumatizing, and I just remembered it because we went to the storage.
And now
yesterday.
You're all Billie Eilish.
Yeah, I know. Look at me trying so
Did
hard.
Did you see
to be
that it. Documentary?
No, I'm dying to see it.
Oh, let me tell you what happens.
Is it good? No. Does she get famous in the end?
I've watched so much. I binge watched so many.
Have
TV
you seen
shows.
The Hotel Cecil documentary?
Yes, I've seen it all. You know what I watched today? Because I'm seeing everything else.
You're trying to just deflect from something
watched,
we were talking about.
I binge watched our Ring doorbell footage. Today and it was
Wait,
so
hold
good
on, hold on. Dude my ring footage is fucking amazing because I have comedians come over to the podcast all the time. I have a video of Donna Rawlings coming to the house, ringing the bell, getting paranoid that he was gonna get jumped and running back to the gate.
Have you seen my Ring doorbell Ring doorbell
special
yeah no I do skits in my Ring doorbell.
That's amazing. I got actually the whatever motto for this podcast is bap bap bap, and that comes from Ring surveillance footage when I took a couple NyQuil when I got home from the Comedy Store and was chasing off coyotes yelling bap bap bap, and we caught it on my Ring cam footage. Sent it to my agents to be like, hey, doesn't Ring cam want to like do something with this? And they were like, they're good. No, you just,
you know, we used to be, our only camera was our Ring doorbell thing in the front. And we were gone for about 3 months and recently, and we were in Tennessee, just kind of potting.
Because that's where she's from.
Yeah.
Where?
Nashville.
God, I love Tennessee.
So anyway, somebody broke into our house when we were gone. They broke the back window and crawled through the window, got cut. We didn't have an alarm on at the time because it was always going off. The cops were coming.
How did you know to look at that foot? Were you just scrolling or got a notification?
My gardener, who broke the window once before because he hit a piece of gravel, and it was the same window, but on a different side. And when he showed it to me, I thought, oh, they did it again. And now they're blaming it on a thief. But it really was. I had my assistant come over and the security, and they said, yeah, somebody broke in. And it was just kind of a smash and grab.
You should have said, I have a storage unit in El Segundo.
I wish.
Can you head out there and just take whatever you want?
Yes.
I was thinking about this the other day. Like, as a woman that lives alone, if someone broke into my house, like a man, I'd be like, while you're here, can you just move this chair? Like, I just, I don't know what, like, I have a bed that I need to disassemble. You can have whatever you want if you just help me move this down. Like, I have, when I have so many, as a woman that lives alone, I have so many plans for when I get burgled. And I even.
Burgled, I like that.
I had one time I was walking through, this is not my proudest moment, but one time I was, I heard a noise downstairs, and I'm in a big house alone, right? I hear a noise downstairs. And once you decide there's someone downstairs, there's no stopping. Everything you see
You have firearms, right?
I have fire pits. I do have dogs that will
bite your dick off. Oh, dogs are the best.
They're the best. The best security defense, in the world is dogs. But so when someone's downstairs in your house, everything you see builds the case. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Like when you like, if you look for something, you'll find it. So I'm like, someone's downstairs and you're so adrenalized. And it's like your heart's taking a shit in your chest, right? And I'm going downstairs and I see like what is a pillar that's always been there since I bought the house. And I'm like, that's him. He's in a white shirt and white pants. Like I was like that, like everything turned into the burglar. I was like, so
you have such a creative mind.
So scared. And then I walked through what I was going to do. And I was like, okay, anything valuable I have, literally the most valuable thing I own is a necklace that I bought at a auction for Pawsark, the elephant sanctuary that you and I both support. I was trying to drive the price up of a necklace for the rich people to buy it. And then no one raised their hand. So I spent like $6,000 on a necklace.
Is that the most expensive piece of jewelry
you have? I've never worn it. And I've never spent that money on jewelry for myself. No, $6,000.
You're not a jewelry person.
I am, but I buy it vintage on Etsy and like, I like vintage stuff.
Hey, I got a lamp you're
not going to do that. I don't want anything from your storage unit except for the baby clothes.
No, this is in the garage.
For my frozen eggs.
This is a beautiful chandelier.
Yeah.
It would go so well in your house.
Really?
I'll send you a picture.
Will you send me a picture? I have a bunch of chandeliers I need to get rid of. Want to swap?
No.
No, damn it.
No, I just don't need anything else.
Chandelier for a chandelier.
How about a chandelier for something else?
My thing is like, if you come pick it up, you can have it.
Yeah.
But so I had a plan and I was like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go get the necklaces because they're all, and I don't organize, I need to organize my, they're all like out. And I was just going to grab them all, go to the top of the stairs and go, here's everything valuable I have. Like, and I was going to throw it down.
I have a drive-thru on the side of the house. I'll hand it out to you.
I was just going to say, there's nothing up here except these necklaces. And then my brain walked through that and I was going to throw it down and go, here are all my necklaces. Good luck untangling them. And I was like picturing the burglar with all these necklaces, like trying to untangle them. I'm like, fuck.
So this guy breaks into my house and he leaves blood in places because he cut himself. So the forensics teams came in. And when I say forensics team, I mean some actress from CSI. And, you know, they took some samples. But he didn't take that much. He took a few of my wife's designer purses. He went right to the bedroom. He was in and out pretty quick. He didn't go to much of the house. Into the walk-in closet. Got some of the purses. Went into my side, the smaller closet. And he got just a few of my watches that I had, like a Rolex watch. But it was my father's that I gave my father.
No.
It was engraved in the back.
No.
And a watch that Lorne Michaels gave me when I left SNL, you know, after 9 years.
It was he was like, your time's up. Yeah. Here's a watch.
And the most important thing he took was an urn that had Gary Shandling's ashes in it that I wore around my neck. So I said to the cop, I said, how do you, like, do you call the pawn shops to try to find out?
I say Craigslist, eBay.
Yeah. And there's another one too. I forget the name of it. It's like something like off the wall or something. Ashley Madison. And but I could just call and say, do you have Gary Shandling down there? Do you have Gary Shandling's ashes? And the weird thing about those ashes was he gave them to me before he died. Isn't that crazy?
I remember at your birthday party, remember?
Yes.
Yes, you had a big birthday party. Yeah. Gary Shandling gave me the most, I mean, I obviously am just a fan and he's a, you know, just a legend to me, but he said something to me once that he just, the way he said it, how he said it, I would not, no one else, if anyone else had said it, I would not have listened. And I was up, you know, I'm always working. Like my thing is just got to work your fucking ass off all the time. And what?
You are the hardest working comedian or actor.
That's
around.
So kind, but
you have to give yourself a break.
But that's what it takes. I mean, this is what
it
takes.
Do you go on vacation ever where you just sit on the beach?
I haven't. The beach, I'm not a.
You ski?
No.
What do you do? What do you do for a vacation?
I have gone on vacations before, but my vacations, I always feel like when you go with a guy, you're just like fighting in a hut.
You ever go with a girlfriend or?
I guess I could. My thing is instead of doing one big vacations are stressful to me because then you come back and you have a million emails and then you have to take a vacation from your vacation and you're on the flight and and you lose your luggage. I like to do little mini vacations.
Meditate?
Yeah.
When?
Now? This whole podcast has been one long meditation. No, man. I do my... I took a attachment strategy class with this amazing guy, George Haas.
Attachment strategy.
Like, what's your attachment strategy or attachment style? Like, what would you say your love attachment style is? Preoccupied, fearful, avoidant.
Right.
Do
you do morning pages?
No, I should.
You really should.
How many do you do?
My wife does them. I try to.
For you?
For a couple of days. Yeah, she does it for me. Kevin is so angry.
No, I've done nothing today.
I just read the Dr. John Sarno book because I've been having neck issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mind over body, you know, mind body.
Mind body, yeah.
That kind of stuff. And he says it's all repressed rage is where our ailments come from.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, let me sit down and do write about my repressed rage. And I really have no rage. So I have to make stuff up. I was so angry at my UPS man. He knew that package was out in the front. He knew I was home. He did not, you know, so.
I mean, I did something called the Grinberg method where this woman, Rahel, she's Israeli. It's this where she lays you on a bed. You're just in your underwear. She starts fingering you.
Let me visualize.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't.
I'm kidding. And, well, first of all, when you meet her, I remember.
Again, the people at home can't see sometimes that are listening. So you have to act things out.
So you go. You, first of all, the first time I met her, her energy is so calm. It makes me realize how manic everyone else is all the time. And I tend to feed off people's energy and I just get. I go offline sometimes.
I don't see that in you. You know? I don't see you as manic at all. Girls, do you see him as manic?
But she's got this magical energy and she, you go in and I remember the first time, you knew Rahel, probably Emily. Do you ever help me with her or no?
Was this a planter feet in your plant? Like you had a plant in the soil? Or was this the ancestral trauma map?
You've been through a lot of healers with me. I feel like.
And we're here, we were still not healed.
you are one of these people that's, you're into spiritualists and
no, I just, I
crystals?
Was in, I was just, no, I love crystals, but not because, I think they're pretty, I don't think they're going to heal your childhood, you know? Unless you like use it to kill your molester or something. unless you bop your molester over the head with a rose quartz. Bap, bap, bap. Bap, bap, no, but.
You scare the coyotes when you say that, huh? Bop, bop, bop. Oh, she said bop, bop, bop.
Like, is she branding again? She trying to make merch again? Jesus. No, so you go to this woman, and it was actually really helpful because I was late, like 2 minutes late, and there was like a...
Sounds like you're late for everything.
I'm never late. I couldn't get a code in or something, and she opens the door, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm late, and blah, blah, blah. And she just was like, why are you apologizing? And she said it super calm, not at all the way I just said it. I probably could never do the impression of it. And I just started bawling, crying. Like her presence was just so intense and she just held a mirror up to how ridiculous it is to apologize to someone you're paying when you're 2 minutes late and didn't have the, why would I have known? And then we go in, lay down and she finds the place that you hold your basically muscle memory pain, because our muscles basically tighten to protect us when we're in fear, and it's usually in our shoulders for women, right?
Yeah.
And she'll like poke into your shoulder and you'll just sob for 2 hours.
Really?
Yes. So this is a faster way to do whatever you're doing, I think.
Can you sue her for that?
I'm calling Ronan Farrow as I talk this through.
But did you watch the Woody Allen documentary?
Mm-hmm.
And?
Did
you listen to the book first?
His book?
Whose book? Listened to Woody Allen's, apropos of nothing, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. I listened to his book.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came to my mind was, this guy has had a stroke or something.
Oh, wow.
And he sounded really old.
Because
I didn't talk
That's always what predators do. They start like trying to seem more feeble.
Right?
As soon as allegations come in, they're like, I'm so feeble.
I mean,
And they started like, yeah.
I even played it for my doctor. I said, it sounds like he's had a stroke. And my doctor says, it sounds like he's had some neurological thing. And I'm telling everybody, Woody had a stroke. Woody had a stroke. Mm-hmm. I'm spreading that around.
Yeah.
And then I find out that I'm playing the audiobook at 2 speeds slower than it should be played.
When you realize you
I gotta
had a
go
stroke.
Back and tell everybody Woody's okay. I mean, he's still.
By the way, I feel like
still,
that was the least incendiary rumor that was going around about Woody Allen. I guess I have really hot takes on Woody Allen that have nothing to do with all these I don't think Annie Hall is a progressive female character. This is my hot take. People think she's like super.
What about back then?
Because she was in a blazer. It's because she's wearing a vest and a blazer.
She still dresses that way.
The character was like flighty and insecure and lost and blah, 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 and like
it was a character.
And by the way, confused. But I'm just saying, everyone was like, he's such a feminist. He made Annie Hall like she was a very like weak person that was was dating a malignant narcissist, and she was wildly out of his league.
Yeah.
She was an insecure like. Airhead that was like minimizing herself for this guy that didn't deserve her. I never thought that was like the progressive movie that everyone thought it was. I was like, 'cause she's wearing khakis and unflattering clothes. That doesn't make this. I'm just saying, I'd like to come for him for a couple. While we're on the topic, I'd like to attack the work as well. Okay. I just feel like there's another documentary about how he molested my time. I don't like when men hide behind being like weak and like impotent and like I'm a nerd and I'm short, and like creeps can be short and insecure too.
But that is the root of a lot of stand-up, isn't it? Like self-deprecating, I'm a nerd. And,
yeah, but it's too much. You're rich. You're a millionaire. You direct movies. He's not like that when he's directing movies and saying, go, move, duh. Like, you are confident. Stop
pretending
you're not.
Anyway, I'm sorry for taking us off course. Go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
I'm ruining your friendship with Woody Allen right now. If you go on stage in front of 100, 200 people to say, listen to me and no one else, and if you interrupt me, a security guard's going to leave you and remove you, and you have to pay to hear me talk, you're not insecure.
That's right.
Hot take?
No one uses their hands better than you. Let me tell you something.
If I have a weak argument, my hands get stronger to make it seem.
A lot of information.
I start doing this to make it seem like it's a better argument than it is.
You don't understand what I'm saying.
I try to distract people.
Yeah.
What
are you looking forward to right now the most?
Us finishing like the 5 stories we set up and never finished.
No, seriously.
I'm serious. Should we go through and just pay off all those stories we started?
Sure.
Yes,
I never
please.
Finish a story. I always change course.
That's what a podcast is, though. What I'm looking forward to.
Let me tell you one thing about podcasts is.
By the way, he does have to tell me sometimes your hand is in the other person's coverage.
Go ahead. What you were saying.
I'm looking forward to figuring out what a podcast is. I still am unclear. I was going to ask
you. A podcast is a vehicle to keep people's mind on something when they're driving the car or trying to get to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably don't always listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I know I like to come back and revisit a podcast if it was interesting.
Oh, interesting.
You know.
Which ones do you listen to?
Well, mostly Howard Stern.
Why isn't he doing a podcast?
Because he has a radio show.
Yeah.
But I have Stitches. Is that what it's called? Stitch?
Stitch, yeah, radio, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so I keep all my podcasts there.
Oh, Stitcher.
Stitcher, yeah. And I haven't listened to a lot of them, but like The Daily.
The Daily's good. That the New York Times one, yeah.
I like that.
That guy's voice is very soothing. Isn't it funny that we're going back to radio?
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting. The more advanced
we get. I
think
it's more of a multitasking thing. People don't want to do a lot of things at once, and listening is easier to do. You know, like I listen to a lot of audiobooks. The best way for me to go to sleep is when I was a kid, I would hear my parents and other people in the other room, in the living room, talking and laughing, and I'd be in my bedroom, and it made me feel so comfortable. I fell asleep. So now I like to turn on a podcast and not even pay attention. I just like hear them talking and then I just drift off.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
But it's fascinating, isn't it?
But I'm just saying, when I always just feel like I'm being boring on a podcast, but I think that's the idea isn't to be too interesting to where someone can't fall asleep, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
If you stay awake to my podcast, I've failed.
Yeah, that's true. To a certain extent. Yeah.
The idea is to kind of drone on. I got this then. In that case, I got it.
But I think a podcast is just a way to have a conversation and hopefully have it be interesting and also, you know, have it available for people to listen to and try to create a following and then get sponsors and make money.
Mm-hmm.
And then fill up the theaters, you know, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of comics have podcasts and all of a sudden they're selling out these huge arenas.
I just don't know if I'm supposed to be... you know, how, I mean, we're comic, you know, it's just like comedians, I feel like for the most part, we're not that funny when we're not doing comedy, especially when we're with each other. Cause it's like,
I thought you'd say, especially you.
Especially you. I mean, you just stopped doing comedy ages ago. You've retired. No, but I just mean, comedians are kind of the one place where I feel like I don't have to be funny. Or if I try to be funny, they'll think I'm corny and a hack, you know? So when you're like funny with everyone and then you're with comics, you're like, hey, what's up, dude? That's the one place. So it's weird that we're doing podcasts now with each other because I feel like we now have to be like, we have to be fucking funny around each other for once.
But I will tell you, nobody is a good laugher as you.
I really...
You really get stuff and you laugh hearty.
I'm one of the, I feel like, few comedians that still like loves comedy and loves comics. Time to talk about student loans. This student loan situation, now that I am getting older, I'm in my 30s. My friends talking about student loans in their 20s, that's normal. Everyone's supposed to have money problems in their 20s. When I am with somebody who's 38 years old and still has crippling student loan debt, a person that works really, it makes me so angry.
You know, you should be mad. We were talking about this, but we want you to be mad because Earnest will help you with this.
Earnest is offering our listeners $100 cash bonus. Refinance your student loan debt at earnest.com/Whitney. Terms and conditions apply. Now, Earnest is giving our listeners $100 cash bonus. Refinance your student loans at earnest.com/Whitney. Terms and conditions apply. Once again, you get $100 cash bonus when you visit earnest.com/Whitney to refinance your loan term. Not available in all states. No, 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 no. Terms and conditions apply. Visit earnest.com/Whitney for more details. Terms and conditions apply. Earnest student loan refinancing made by Earnest Operations, LLC, and MLS. Number sign 120-4917. California Finance and Law. License number 60-54-78-1-8. Also, 303 Second Street, Suite 401, North San Francisco, CA 94107, Venice,
visit Earnest. Visit Earnest.com/licenses for a full list of licenses.
I just had this conversation with somebody via text the other day, yesterday, because I saw his special on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Narrowing it down.
It's a 6-part special. Mm-hmm. Danny Joles or Joles? How they say it. Isn't that Mexican? I think it's Joles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But he was really good and I never saw him before. And I was really kind of getting tired of specials. And I really just, I was just so sick of stand up.
Yeah.
And then I saw him. I thought, that's refreshing. You know, that's really, he's really clever and smart and funny and kind of a different approach. So I thought, you know, that inspired me to kind of, because, you know, when you're out at the clubs every night, you're seeing the same comics and then you see their specials.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
I used to live in the comedy clubs when I first started, as we all did. Mm. And I knew when the comic was going to deliver his punchline. I knew he would swallow first with like a little pseudo indigestion and then do his punchline. I knew every act, you know, I knew every punchline, every little idiosyncrasy of the comic.
Who do you think should have had a bigger career?
Who should have?
Mm-hmm. Like, is there anyone that should have had a bigger career?
We all should have had a bigger one.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know what? You're like, us?
And it's not over for a lot of people. I used to tell Gary Shandling, I said, you know, Gary, when I used to go on the road, and I would get so excited because I think I am building toward having a show at Madison Square Garden, you know, mm-hmm. and by doing these road gigs. But now, you know, I've been doing it for so long. When I'm on the road, it's not like I'm working. I said, I don't think I'm going to be like selling out Staples Center or anything like that. He goes, you never know. You never know. It can still happen. But the thing about the intensity of stand-up, it can't last that long. Mm. You can't be selling out Madison Square Garden over year after year.
Why would you want to? Steve Martin,
you know, he burnt out after a while. Yeah. Every major comic that has done those venues that have sold out and bragged about it, and, you know, it just doesn't last. You can't keep that momentum going. I don't think, you know, for longer than
it's not sustainable.
A year or two or three, you know?
Yeah.
It's just too hard. You know, I'm not saying that my stand-up is like great and I should be doing that stuff, but mine has always been just very gradual, you know, comfortable kind of a, because I think that's my personality. I'm not like a in-your-face comic. I'm more kind of dry and laid back. And that's kind of how my career is too. It's been really kind of, you know, I've always been working. I could work, you know, on the road forever if I wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, not to change the subject, but before I forget this.
But I have three things we have to finish written on this post-it note.
Okay. And then I got to go.
Nope.
I was interviewing Neil Brennan once.
The best.
And I was keeping him longer than I should have. And after one question, he goes, okay, we're done here. And he just got up and he left. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh my God. Okay, so really funny. Quick. Okay, you're going to tell me. Oh, the thing that Gary Shandling told me, I never said. The advice he gave me. It's so anticlimactic now. But I was like working away because he had a gym with Peter Berg down on Olympic. He was very into boxing. And I was upstairs just working in that gym, right? Like between like taking a training session and working. And he just looked at me and, you know, I talked to him about a set that I had seen him do at a David Lynch Foundation charity show where everyone fucking bombs. Everyone bombs at charity. Like these charity shows, everyone's bomb. Everyone's eating. No one wants to see comedy. He came out and just fucking killed. Was so funny. And was like amazing. I was at a table full of comics and we were dying. Comics don't want other comics to do well. We were dying. And so I see him and I'm just like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I saw you. That set was like amazing. And he was like, that was a nightmare. The car was like he remembered the night, every second of it. And it was like, I like walked into some bad night where like the manager didn't call the car and someone got like, it was just like not a good night for him, but an awesome night for me. So I was like bringing up some trauma for him. And I was like, oh, I just like walked into a weird hornet's nest. And then we started talking about work and he said something. He's like, you know, in comedy, you can never make it too late. You can only make it too early.
See, that's what he said to me. He said, those dreams could still come alive.
But it's like Rodney Dangerfield 101. It was just, I just was like, yeah, why am I rushing? Like, I'm only going to get better and smarter, more worldly and more interesting as I get older. I don't know why would you want to make it this young? I don't have anything to say yet, you know?
Yeah.
So I just, comedians, it's our job is to have interesting opinions. Like you have to go live your life. It gave me a lot of permission to be like, yeah, I'm going to go like live my life and become interesting.
It's like a blues, you know, musician. You've got to live a life.
Yes, have a soul.
Something to talk about. And
for art to imitate life, you have to have life. Yeah. And he changed the way I approach work in that moment. And he obviously had no idea and probably had said it a lot. And it just like hit me at the right time from the only person I would have listened to it from.
Yeah, that was a good piece of advice.
So any day now, I'm going to start.
But you got to live a life.
Yeah.
To draw from it.
Yes.
You got to take vacations.
Yes. The most uninteresting comics are the ones that all they do is comedy and all they do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot of it is opinions. It's a lot of it is, you know, point of views and observations.
And also taking risks and being able to go into dangerous spaces, which I, that's what I'm, that's the only thing I'm scared of.
Anthony Bourdain.
What? In LA, at the Comedy Store, in that moment, that was like the brave, like such a brave thing to do.
But it wasn't a personal attack on him. I didn't know him, of course.
I know, but I never saw comics, his work. We were in the back going, what? Like, I never would have had the balls to say that.
Some comics can get away with things because of their persona, mm-hmm. when others couldn't.
But you also have always been, I don't want to say gentle on other people. Like, you're not known for like a mean
attacking, yeah.
at all. And you said it in kind of just like, meh, just.
Yeah, it's just never.
It was. I mean, did you do something about a parachute? Am I making that up?
A parachute?
Wasn't there something about a parachute?
I don't think so.
What was the Anthony Bourdain bet? I remember.
It was.
That guy would just fucking kill himself already.
Oh, no.
I just remember the audience going like, and you just fucking leaning in. And that is my favorite shit to see from a comedian. Well, that's a true comic.
I thank you.
And that, you didn't go, oh, really? You guys are, you didn't even fucking acknowledge it. You just kept going.
Well, I will tell you, you know, I haven't done that in a long time, that bit, because it was kind of controversial.
Kind of a fan.
but I've never felt so many different levels of reaction from a bit that I've done before than that. Uh-huh. I mean, I've seen people, and it's a risky bit to do, especially at the time. I see people react in so many different ways, and then they get on board and they're laughing, and afterwards they'll come up, they say, that bit was hilarious. Don't lose that bit. That was so good. That's so good. And it really kind of made me feel alive, because like, people kind of reacted to it that way, you know. And there was also a part of me that made me feel bad.
Thank you for taking us through the haunted house.
Yeah,
that's what comedy is. You're supposed to take us into a dangerous space where we're laughing. We're supposed to go into the danger zone, and we stop doing that with this careful comedy, this safe comedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're like, we know you're joking. We know.
No, I mean, apparently, you know, like I said, I didn't know him, but. Apparently well loved, and mm-hmm. you know, great show. I never saw it.
So, you know, I always thought he never really wanted to be where he was. He never seemed like he was that impressed by any of the places he was. He was like, all right.
Look at you jumping on the wagon.
Yeah, I don't want to feel like I'm plagiarizing you, but I always felt like he could like take it or leave it. I was always like, he seems pretty indifferent about India.
Yeah. I mean, he seemed like, to have quite a life. He had quite an adventurous life, you know, all those different countries and food and, you know, seemed to like his liqueurs and.
Yeah. Yeah. Know. But what I just, that is my favorite type of comedy that I'm afraid is going to start to atrophy or go away because people are scared.
Because people are afraid of offending. And,
yeah.
No, I mean, I've had people walk out on that bit. Mm. I've never had people walk out on me before.
Whoa.
It wasn't a lot. It was one table in San Francisco.
But, oh, so, well, yeah. Okay.
You know, yeah. But I remember it.
So they were walking out because you were a white man. You were the patriarchy. Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I'm open to more bits like that, that really kind of
you've earned
wake people up and kind of.
What's the point if you're not feeling reinvigorated after you? Like, I just feel like I was talking about this morning where I went on this podcast and I was like, God, I hope they like me. And I went off and I was like, I hope that wasn't too far. Like, I found myself apologizing on this podcast. And I was like, no, it's my job to come on here. It's not my job to be liked. It's to be interesting, to go into a dangerous space, play devil's advocate, and make sure this conversation is interesting, and then probably to be polarizing.
Yeah.
You know?
But you want people going home and talking about you.
That's right.
When there's 10 comics on the lineup, you want to be the one they're talking about on the way home.
Yeah.
Like quoting your stuff.
Yeah.
And remembering your name.
Yeah.
And asking when you're going to be back again.
Yeah, but it's also it's our job to say things we don't always believe just because we're exploring an area that you've never thought about before. You know, like we're going to go into this dangerous place and then come back. You know?
Yeah.
Like we're going to go scuba diving at night and it's going to be, and then you're going to be safe again.
I mean, I think that's one of the things about Bill Burr's appeal is that he takes you down this road mm-hmm. where you're thinking, this guy's not going to say that. Uh-oh, oh, he's going to be canceled. He's going to, you know.
It's a roller coaster. Tick, tick,
yeah.
Tick,
yeah.
Tick, 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 tick.
But anyway, he gets away with it and people love him.
Yeah. Because there's, if you, the second you start apologizing, or oh, that's when it's over. Yeah. I feel like if you're just like, I'm fucking doing this, this is what I do, this is what I've always done, this is the contract we signed with you guys as comedians. We didn't sign a contract that you were going to come in here and we were going to say all the shit you heard at work today. Mm-hmm. It's we're going to say all the shit you're not allowed to say at work. That's the whole point of coming here, you know?
Yeah.
And he doesn't fucking flinch. As soon as you flinch, they have the power and it's
you've got to be in control.
And watching,
you're the pilot.
But watching you do that, I was just so, I hope everyone gets to see it one day, because it was just sort of like, how long you've done, like you've done this for...
Over 40 years.
It was just watching you do it. I was like, that is such a fucking pro. Like, it was just, no, but a lot of times, like, people that have been doing it for a long time and they're resting on their laurels and they come in and they're like, whatever.
I'm a people pleaser. Not a people pleaser, but
every comedian should be one.
I don't like to make waves, but I do like to have something that's memorable. And
can I just say, you would make waves if Kevin Nealon walked in and then just did a bunch of safe comedy. We're like, all right, that's it. Like, to me, I'd go like, yo, Kevin Nealon just blew my mind.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether or not to do that Anthony Bourdain bit now or not.
I do it in a special or at a whatever, but somewhere. Okay. Or like when you're touring, if you don't want to put in a special, you're doing these outdoor shows, right?
Why wouldn't I put in a special?
I don't recommend it. Are you insane? What? Are you a maniac? You can't say that on TV.
No, but I will say that he was beloved and probably a great guy.
Totally, but like the people that go, I know this, but let's
He's kidding.
Yeah, but could you do it, film it? Like all the bits that I'm like, I feel like I'm not going to be able to get away with that or whatever. I've shot some stuff like just sort of in my backyard or at these clubs, and then I'll put it on Instagram and just be like, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And kind of like float it. Are you touring?
I haven't started yet. My schedule keeps getting pushed back. And also, there was part of me that felt guilty for trying to attract people to come to an indoor show.
Here's what I'm finding, though. If I felt like that, too, but I'm noticing that the people that come either don't live with their parents. Like, people are going, hey, can't make it this time. I'll see you next time. Like, what I say to these cities is, I'm coming. If you can't, I will be back next year.
Yeah.
So any shows that I've done in any of these cities, it's like Phoenix and Salt Lake, all these ones, I'm coming back next year for the people that couldn't come because they weren't vaccinated or had an immune thing or lived with their grandparents or whatever it was.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't, I mean, I don't worry about my health because I'm fully vaccinated.
Yes.
You know, and I say that a lot, I use that a lot, you know. I say, no, I'm fully vaccinated.
Was the second shot, did you do two shots?
The first one was Pfizer, second Moderna, and now I'm going with the Johnson & Johnson.
You want to mix it up?
Yeah. It's a cocktail.
These hoes ain't loyal.
It's a cocktail. One of them's got to work.
Was the second one rough?
It was a little rough. Uh-huh. Yeah, because I took it in the butt. No, the second one...
You do know how to really ramp up at the end. Yes. Caitlyn Jenner was
coming
right.
In with the killer.
You really know how to fucking come in. You know how to close.
My key's in my hand right now.
It's a Tesla key, so it's just a tiny toy car.
My arm was sore for about a week. I couldn't lift it up. Oof. You know, and then I was a little fatigued one day, and I had a little bit of a fever and some blood coming out of the ear. A little blood here and a blood coming from the eye.
And just a stigmata, yeah, stigmata coming out of my face.
Yeah, and my skull split open.
And I can't remember my wife's name. Good thing I took all those photos of her. Well, you got to go on tour now. We got to keep these clubs in business.
No, I'm going to. I'm
it's your responsibility.
I think my tour will start back up in June.
All right, I would do this with you forever, and you know, I love you and respect you, so I'm going to respect the boundary and the fact that you're trying to leave. I'm not going
to
abuse.
No, I'm not trying to leave.
I'm not going
to
abuse my power.
No,
I'm not going
to. Your boyfriend
gonna,
showed up. And
I'm
you want to get out of
no,
here.
No, I'm not going to pull a Harvey Weinstein on you. I'm not going to block the door.
I feel like the third wheel here.
You were yawning an hour ago.
That doesn't mean I'm bored. That means I'm so relaxed.
You
my
fall asleep
brain
to
is
podcasts.
Not getting oxygen.
You can't fall asleep on a podcast. It is also, this is a really late, we shot this at like 8 and 7 at night. This is the latest I've ever shot a podcast. I love you.
I have so many things I want to talk to you when this is done.
I know, we have a lot to catch up on that we're not allowed to say on camera. I love you guys. Don't ride elephants. KevinNealon.edu. Thanks for doing this. I hope this didn't ruin our friendship.
No, I think it cemented it.